It's okay, turn your Bibles. We'll be looking at different places in the Bible. Turn with me quickly to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. That is where we're going to begin tonight. I'd like to talk about purposeful living tonight. Purposeful living. You know, a lot of people don't have a purpose for their life. And a lot of people who have a purpose for their life have the wrong purpose in their life. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Of course, Solomon, in his backslidden state, sought to find satisfaction in all sorts of different things. He sought to find satisfaction in great building projects. He sought to find satisfaction in the arts. He found sought to find satisfaction in horticulture and husbandry and all sorts of other things. And all those successful pursuits of life. And he came to the end of it and he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And so we have the fact that those who pursue the earthly dreams of life will end up life having lived for nothing. Having lived for nothing. Now, obviously, we live in a day in which a lot of people are actually living for nothing. They're living for sin. They're living for pleasure. They're living for something that only will give them regrets. But at the best that life has to offer, if you're not living off the government, the best that life has to offer is get up every morning, go to work, spend a hard day at work, come home, maybe get supper, a little bit of rest, go to bed, get up the next morning early, go to work. Spend the whole day at work. Work hard, come home, get a few moments of relaxation maybe, go to bed, get up the next morning early, go to work, spend the whole day at work. And so on and on and on throughout your life. That's the typical life of the average American. What is it? Emptiness. If that is all there is to life, what is it but emptiness? No matter what a person may accomplish in this world, even if they're productive, Solomon is warning people, pursue all your earthly dreams, and you will find at the end emptiness. Vanity, purposelessness will be the result of your life. Now we look at the scripture and we realize that God is a very purposeful God. We've been looking in Ephesians and we'll turn there. And a great truth that is pointed out in Ephesians, especially those of you who memorize Ephesians chapter 5, is that God has a purpose. God has a purpose. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He had a purpose. He had a will. He had a plan. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Notice verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. You know, we have a purposeful God. What he does on purpose. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And he saves us for a purpose. He saves us for a purpose. Of course, you know that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1. A great reminder of God's purpose for our lives. Verse 9, 2 Timothy 1. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. If you understand the principle here, is that God has a purpose in saving us. And God has a purpose for our life. And even at this point, we need to ask ourselves, you are here tonight, what is your purpose in your life? What is your purpose? Are you connected with God's purpose for your life? If you are not connected to God's purpose and a purposeful God who saved you for a purpose, then you will miss out. Your life will be empty at the end. And it will be empty in the middle. And it will be empty all during your life. God is a purposeful God. You know, God, everything about God's plan and God's thinking, there is direction and there are plans and there is purpose. You know, God has a purpose for the church. We looked at that in 2 Timothy, in Ephesians chapter number 3. We say, well, God has a plan for the church, among other things. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now, and he's talking about his purpose, that under the principalities in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God has a plan for the local church. And part of that plan is that the angels of heaven would be able to look down and see the local New Testament church and marvel at the grace of God and the plan of God and the outworking of God in sinners saved by grace, living for Him, bringing glory to Jesus Christ. That's His plan. And His plan that the angels of heaven be able to look down and see that. I wonder, what does He see? What does He see in the typical New Testament church? What does He see in your life? The angels are watching. And I wonder, what do they see? Do they see God's purpose being fulfilled? God is a God of purpose. You know, as you think about the Lord, you think of that He had the look of purpose. You know, you can look in somebody's eyes and, you know, you can kind of see if there's something going on. The Bible uses that a phrase, that idea of a look of purpose. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. It says, and it came to pass, when the time was come that He should be received up. Speaking of His crucifixion, His resurrection, His death at Jerusalem. He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set His face. There was an aim. There was a purpose in His life. Isaiah said that the Savior set His face as a flint. Determination. Direction. Purpose. That was in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, most everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did and taught, He explained it with a sense of purpose. He explained it with a sense of purpose. When Zacchaeus was saved, He explained it with the sense of purpose. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Here in Matthew chapter 20. And in the whole context of the disciples saying who is going to be the greatest and all of those different things, the Lord expresses his purpose in life. Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. Notice what is he saying? He's saying that the model of the Christian is found in the model of Christ. And in the model of Christ was a purpose. There's always a purpose for what he did. There was something that was foremost that ruled in his life and what he did. He had a life of purpose. You know, there's a lot of things that can sidetrack us from a life of purpose. We had a little service at Camp Joy a couple weeks ago. And we were talking about seeing souls. And Jesus saw the woman at the well as a soul. The disciples were thinking about lunch. And we talked about it. It says, well, what causes people not to see souls? And someone, we left it up to the audience, and someone says, sin. Sin keeps people from seeing souls. Sin brings blindness. And when people when we have sin in our life, we don't see souls. And afterwards, someone said, you know, there's something else that causes us not to see souls. And sometimes it's just busyness. We can be busy about right things. And we are so busy that we don't see souls. And we can get busy in life, even a good life, and lose our purpose for life. Lose that sense of purpose. Now we need to have purpose in our life. Purpose rules and reigns over every aspect of our life. Without purpose, we drift. Without purpose, we'll spend our life, and we could easily spend our life, and when it's over, life will be full, could be full of the regrets of sin, but it could be full of the regrets of a life that's wasted. Wasted life. Oh, maybe productive in this world, but wasted for eternal things. Let's think very quickly of an obvious sense of purpose that we need to have in life. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about God's purpose for our lives. Why he saved us. Why he says we have obtained an inheritance. Why we have been predestinated. And we have it in Ephesians 1:12. What was God's purpose? What was God's purpose for saving us? Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. He's telling us that the focus of our life should always be upward. The focus of our life should always be about God. It ought to be toward God. God ought to be the center of that purpose of our life. Oftentimes, self becomes the center. Oftentimes, life revolves about what we want to do, or what we think, or how we feel. You know, number one. That won't get us anywhere. That won't bring glory to God. That will bring about an empty life, I guarantee you. we don't need to talk about all the negatives of where it will send us, but the Bible says we have to have a purpose. And the purpose of our life ought to be towards God. And it is to bring the glory to God. It is to give the world the evidence that there is a living God, that He is alive, that He is real, and that He is a holy God, that the world might know the God of heaven through our lives. Bring glory to Him. That's our purpose. That ought to be an overriding purpose of our life. Everything we do to bring glory to God, whether it's in the schoolroom, whether it's in our work, whether it's in our life, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our families, whatever we do, there's a purpose in it. And if we don't have that purpose, we're going to miss out on what life is all about. Bring glory to God. Bring a right opinion of God in a dark world. Obviously, Ephesians says that God has a purpose for our life. He has a will for our life. As we look at those verses there in Ephesians, it says, verse 5, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, God has a definite will for our lives. I want to talk about just three of those very definite things that is a part of God's will in our life, that is part, a very important part of living a purposeful life. First of all, as Jesus said, I will build my church. That is God's plan for this age. That is God's plan for this age. The local church. Now, when I was saved, I was in interdenominationalism. And thank the Lord for what God was doing in my life. And He called me to preach. And I ended up at Bible college. But I remember the first class I took at Bible college was a class on the local church by Dr. Cederholm. And I got in that class about the New Testament church, and it was like a huge light bulb just went on. Hey, that is God's plan. God's plan for lighthouses all over the world. And I thought about my town I grew up did not have a New Testament church. And I thought of all the other communities around that didn't have a New Testament church. He says, you know what? That's God's plan. That's what I need to give my life to. God's will. The New Testament church. You don't give yourself to something that's going to last. That's part of the center of God's plan. It's His plan for your life. You know what it is? New Testament church. And we were talking to a fellow there in New Mexico. He was a saved man. But he had a very unbiblical background. And the sad part of it was that he was content just once in a while to be a witness to the Catholic family he was staying with. That was the extent of his influence for Jesus Christ. Just content to be a witness once in a while to the Catholic family that he was living with. And just a couple miles away, a New Testament church that he could have planted himself in and spread his influence and made a great difference for Jesus Christ. He missed it. He's missing it. Maybe God will do something in his life. He's missing the opportunity. Our greatest usefulness, our greatest usefulness is to be in the center of God's plan. And God's plan is the New Testament church. And as we went out to New Mexico, we're praying that God would get a hold of the hearts of some of those people, that they'll realize that they have a purpose in their life that can make a difference, not only in their life, but in that community and many other lives, and in, yea, even the world. And you know, we need to sense that. We need to understand. Hey, this is what I need to do. I need to get into a local church. I need to give my life. I need to invest myself. I need to make it go. I need to build it up with my life, my work, my heart. I need to promote what God has chosen for my life, the New Testament church. God has a plan. It's the New Testament church. God has a plan. It is the Great Commission. You know it. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The plan of redemption. You know, we can really miss the point. How can we miss the point? We can miss the point by a long shot when we're content to talk to one person once in a while about Jesus Christ. That's a long shot away from giving the gospel to every creature. You know, maybe it's not a good illustration, but we had a good math teacher out in the audience at New Mexico, so the Lord gave me this illustration. Might not work very good here, but you know, if you're a math teacher, and you had a test of 20 questions, and you said to the pupils, you only have to answer one question in order to get an A. It's 20 questions, they only have to answer one. Okay? How many do you think they would answer? One. That's right, one. But if you said, there's 20 questions on this test, and you need to answer all 20 of them to get an A, guess what people would decide they needed to do? Answer all 20. And you know, that's the difference. That's the difference between saying, well, you know, I can witness to someone once in a while, versus God's plan that is, I have the responsibility to get the gospel to every creature. If we are content to witness to someone once in a while, yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll answer one question, won't we? One question. But if we understand and bear the burden and bear the sense that God's plan for you and I is to get the gospel to every creature, we will recognize that every opportunity that we have has been given to us by God. And many times we have many opportunities every day. And if we don't have opportunities, we need to create opportunities. Our life plan is not to escape God's plan. Our life purpose is to fulfill God's plan. We need to be purposeful people. Do we want to end up life standing before the Lord empty-handed? Want to stand before the Lord with 20 questions and we only answered one? Purposeful. You know, that purpose is in our heart and it's in our eyes. And we all can easily fit into that. We can easily fit into that days, not even praying for a soul, not even witnessing, not even thinking about witnessing. Many days of regret that our tongue is and our mouth is on lockjaw when we have the witness. Because why? We don't have a purpose. We don't have a purpose. God's purpose for our life. God has a plan. You know, God has a plan as we think of our lives. Let's turn to Matthew 25 quickly and realize that we're all running out of time here. But there's a perspective here that I'm a little bit concerned about that is all about purposeful living. Purposeful living. And of course, the parable, the talents. Verse 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know, life is a stewardship. And that stewardship shows especially in our lives when we have a purpose. We have a purpose. Now, you know, we're out to New Mexico, and I see these people, and I see what their lives could mean, what their lives could produce, what a difference their life could make in the New Testament church and for the glory of God. But you know, I'm sure that they don't really see it that way. We tried to give them a vision of that. Our life is a stewardship. It's a life of, it's an opportunity of potential. It's an opportunity of development. You know, the purpose of McQuonigle Baptist Academy is not merely education, not at all. Purpose of McQuonigle Baptist Academy is an opportunity for young people to develop their lives to serve Jesus Christ so they can invest their lives in eternity. That's what the speech is about. That's what the music is about. That's what the education is about. It's an investment. It's a stewardship. It's for purposeful people. And it has to start with purposeful parents who transfer a sense of purpose to their children. And young people need to have a sense of purpose in their life. Taking their abilities, using them for God. Whether those abilities are intellectual, whether it be social, whether it be whatever, musical, whatever they be. You know what? It's all has to do with this whole outlook. What can I do with my life for Jesus Christ? How can I make my life count the most? That's what stewardship is about. What can I do with my life so I can be productive for God in the future? Don't shortchange God. Don't be selfish. Don't be short-sighted. Don't say, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to learn that. I don't want to develop that. That's going to be a lot of work. Exactly. But why? For God. You have that opportunity. Think about how your life can make a difference for God. You know, we're just talking about the needs of some missionaries. And we were saying, you know, well, maybe this person or maybe that person. And the missionary says, no, I want that person. And of course, I'm talking between the lines. Why do they say want that person? You know what? Because that person developed their abilities. They developed their talents. They have all these things to offer for the work of the Lord. And they said, I want that person. We can get a lot done with that person. Why? Because they had a purposeful life. And you know, it's not about us. No. It's not about us. It's about serving God. What we can do for God with our life. That's what the parable of talents is about. What are we doing with the stewardship? You know, if we don't have any purpose, what we do? We just take that thing, bury it in the ground. When God saves us, He saves us for a purpose. It's not to float around. It's not to be mediocre. It's not to live for ourselves. It's not to have the vain, empty purposes of the world. He has a plan. And we need to understand that plan. And then we need to make that our purpose in living. We need to have a driving force in life. We need to have that motivation in life. It needs to come from God. It needs to be for God. We need to be people who too, like the Lord Jesus, set our face like flint unto doing God's will for our life. And that when our life is all over, we'll have done something for the glory of God. And we'll have spent our life as an offering for God, that we'll have furthered the work of the Lord, have helped souls come to Christ, help spread the gospel to every creature. What a great need there is for purposeful Christians. Now, you might be here tonight, and if you aren't saved, I guarantee you, you don't have any lasting purpose in your life. And if you're honest, you just look at your life, and you'll just fall into that monotony of life. And no matter what you accomplish in this world, it'll still be empty. Because it isn't God's plan. That's why you need to... That whole scenario makes us understand that we are sinners and we need Jesus Christ. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone our own way. And that way will bring an empty life. We need to repent of going our own way, being our own boss, and turn and surrender our life to Jesus, to God, and turn to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And tonight, as Christians, we need to be purposeful people. We need to rise above all the monotony of life. And you know, that's what it is. It's the monotony of life if it has no purpose. But that monotony changes into an exciting life. Whether it's changing diapers, fixing meals, washing clothes, whatever it is, that monotony is turned into purpose and motivation and an end result if we have submitted ourselves to God's plan for our life. Everything we do, just the way we live, can strengthen, edify, build up the New Testament church, make it stronger. That's purposeful living. There's so many things that are involved in purposeful living. And it takes the most monotonous thing of life and makes it worthwhile. Makes our life worthwhile to fit into God's plan. Have you given yourself to God's plan? I know that if you haven't, there is a sense in your life of emptiness. Oh, there might be some earthly pleasures, but there is a sense of emptiness in your life because material things and material gain and all those things can never replace God's purpose for your life. And so, will we give ourselves to God's purpose for our life? Will we give ourselves to God's purpose? He saved us for a purpose. We need to surrender to His purpose for our lives, to bring glory to Him. Let's pray, Father. Pray You bless now the Word of God and the decisions that we need to make. And Lord, oftentimes we get our eyes off of You. We get our eyes on the world. We get our eyes on sin. We get our eyes on our own pleasure. And Lord, we fill our lives with regrets and emptiness. We become unuseful in the plan of an eternal God. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that You'll help us even tonight to give ourselves, to change around the purpose of our life, to make the decisions that we need to make, and turn from being a once-in-a-while witness to a purposeful witness, a person committed to by the grace of God, with the power of God, with God's help, to reach lost souls, to be an influence for Jesus Christ, to be strengthening and building and edifying the strength of the New Testament church by our life and by our effort and by our talents and by our all that we have. And that, Lord, that the church can be a lighthouse that it needs to be, not only for the sake of this place, but for the world's sake. And Lord, I pray You just help young people to get a vision for a purpose for their life, and give themselves and their abilities, their talents, their time, everything, Lord, to develop it, to be a servant for You, to have a purposeful life for Your sake and for Your glory. Now pray, Lord, that You'll bless this time as we even give an invitation. Lord, while heads are bowed, I pray You'd work in hearts. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, maybe.